Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Ken is away. Deborah's here. And we've got much to get into. Next hour, we're going to talk with Blake Trolley about another task force. Wow. Cool. Those always work out so well. Karen Bass and the other police officials announced a task force to stop all these smash and grab robberies. A task force. God, why didn't I think of that? I could have looked like a hero yesterday. One thing that popped out of the LA Times story was the LA County Sheriff Robert Luna says his department is aware of 170 recent organized retail thefts. 170 recent. And it took 170 of them to organize a task force. So we'll get to all that. But first, Steve Gregory in Maui. It seems indefinitely. covering the aftermath of this horrific fire with the death tolls up to at least 111. And there's still 1,000 people missing?
It could be 2,000.
Wow.
And that's coming from people I've been speaking with, working the scene from rescue squads, urban search and rescue teams on the ground. Yesterday had a conversation that they were told by federal officials to prepare for a possibility of up to 2,000 missing people, presumed dead. But it's really hard to sort of pin it down because of how the communications infrastructure has been affected here and impacted. So a lot of people had, you know, kind of ran up and fled into the hillsides and have been staying up there. A lot of people that may not have had any friends or family here, tourists who had no DNA, family members to offer DNA for the profiles that they're putting together so that they can match up the human remains to the familial DNA that's been put on file. So there's a lot of, it's a very complicated, very tedious process. The FBI is on scene now, though we're not being told specifically what they're doing, but I know that that includes some evidence recovery experts. So whether they're assisting with human remains or rapid DNA, that's something I'm trying to find out today. But there was another press conference yesterday, and the tenor of this press conference was interesting. I did not physically go, as I told you yesterday, I was not going to go. And I'm glad I didn't, because it looks as though the local media are now starting to get a little more aggressive. And so without me being there to sort of taint the well, if you will, I wanted to play for you some select bites today of sort of how people are feeling now and the lack of answers, how things are going overall. So the press secretary, her name is Makana McClellan. She's the governor's press secretary. This is how she's been opening all the press conferences.
We are the state of Aloha. So we ask kindly that you please operate under the values of Aloha, which is extending respect and kindness to each other. Questions and answers will follow promptly after the speakers conclude their remarks. Without further ado, I would like to invite Governor Josh Green.
So the governor comes up and does his statement, but this is how she prefaces every press event.
She tries to enforce an attitude, tries to shame people into not being too aggressive with the governor.
Sure. Or anybody up there for that fact. So when it came time for Q&A, one of the speakers yesterday was Herman Ndaya. Now, he is the head of the Maui Emergency Management Agency. And a story came out yesterday about him not having any field experience, that he's mostly been a pencil pusher, and that he basically got overwhelmed and may have dropped the ball on all of this. So there was a lot of scrutiny on this guy, and the first question from CBS came out of the shoot, and it had to do with the sirens. But the other thing, too, that this Makana does is she'll take the questions, the reporter's question, and then she encapsulates it and distills it down and then has the person come up.
You made the decision not to sound the sirens, which could have saved many lives. Now there are questions about your lack of experience, that you only took online courses for disaster relief, no in the field experience. Do you regret your decision? And have you considered handing over the reins to somebody with more experience?
So the question is around sirens as it relates to the disaster, and the question is for Herman.
Now, did you catch what she did there?
Right. She turned it back to sirens instead of the lack of experience that this administrator had.
And he comes up.
So the news story talks about how I didn't have experience before taking on a job. And that's not true.
That's not true. So
that's the end of the debate then, huh?
Well, it goes on a little bit, and then he gets into his experience and talks about what he's done. And so the reporter comes back.
He's selected. So that's...
You regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not. And the reason why... And
so many people said they could have been saved if they had time to escape. Had a siren gone off, they would have known that there was a crisis emerging. And as we know, so many bodies were found in the ground.
Do you want him to give you the answer?
At this point, the mayor comes up. Mayor Bisson comes up to the lectern.
Let him finish his answer.
Sorry, there's a lot of people.
Well, you're talking and you're not letting him talk. If you want to talk, come up here.
I'm ready for the answer.
Then wait.
So that's the kind of tenor to start out the shoot. You know, the mayor got pretty defensive. So at that point, then Makana comes back.
I'm going to do another friendly reminder that we encourage aloha and kindness again. We appreciate the questions, but I would encourage all of us to operate under the values of aloha and kindness.
You've got
so
hundreds.
As you're asking the question.
You got hundreds of people dead, at least. And it's clear that this crowd didn't know what they were doing. They don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to even engage the possibility that maybe they made the wrong decision. It's just aloha. Don't you understand? We're under aloha here. The hell? They sound like little kids.
Well, if you want, I can come back, because then the governor gets involved with a local reporter, not a mainlander, not an outsider like me, but right. A local reporter. So I got that.
All right. We'll do that next. Steve Gregory in Maui. This is how these things happen. We don't know about the quality of the employees that have huge responsibility in a crisis time. We here in no town, in no city. We pay, billions in taxes, but we don't know if the guy who's supposed to flick on the siren switch is going to do it. We don't know what goes on in his head. We don't know how smart he is, how experienced, how educated. We don't know anything. We just think, oh, it's the government, you know. No, listen to them. They don't know what they're doing. This could happen again and again and again.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Oh, I forgot to tell you. After 4 o'clock, the iHeartRadio app has the John and Ken On Demand podcast, so you could listen to what you missed. We continue with Steve Gregory, who's been in Maui all week after the horrific fires. And the story of the fire damage is one thing, but now the second round of stories on how contentious and prickly and evasive all the Hawaiian officials have been with reporters, and how little information we still have is getting quite fascinating. I just ask you, I know you got more stuff to play, but just one question related to that official who never hit the siren switch and doesn't regret it because they didn't want people. Well, everyone thinks it's a tsunami siren, and they didn't want people moving
upward,
right? Because that's where the fires were coming from. It didn't never occur to all these people to have a fire siren and some system where you could direct people in the correct direction?
I don't know. That's a short answer. But the other answer, too, is critics have said that a siren noting an emergency is better than no siren at all.
Right.
And they could have been supplemented and followed up by the wireless text alert. And that's what everyone's complaint was, is like, when you usually do a siren, there's usually a mass text that goes out that says, hey, evacuate here. And locals show me, you know, on their phone, like, these are the messages we get. This is how it works. And there was a fire back in 2018, and they used the system back then, the infrastructure that's in place now. The early alert warning was used in 2018 for this very
same thing. All right, so did that wireless system not work this time, or they didn't use it? What was the story?
Well, the thing is that they felt like they got the alert too late, and then a lot of people didn't get it, and then they were blaming it on the power outage. It's like, well, the power outage doesn't have anything to do with the cell alert, because the cell, presumably, unless cell towers are down, which no one has said that has been the case or not, and or if the hub of where those alerts come from was destroyed, which is typically out of emergency operations center or a cell phone hub. So no one said anything about any damage to those complexes.
So nobody's explained why the alert didn't go out on the wireless system.
No.
Ah, all right.
Okay, so this here is a local reporter now who was talking about the fact that there's a lot of mistrust out there. Does that sound familiar? Same question I asked on Monday. And this, and mistrust in social media and the role social media has been playing. And then this is Makana McClellan, the press secretary, distilling the question.
So the question is around public trust.
Well, first and foremost, if you're relying on social media, with all due respect.
That's just an example, sir.
Well, as the example you used.
Yeah.
It's a terrible example because social media is the worst source.
Well, sir, you just have to go out and talk out people out in the street.
I think you'll let me answer the question as governor. Doing reporting through social media is idiotic.
Doing reporting through social media is idiotic. And then he goes on.
Doing reporting in person is intelligent.
Doing reporting in person is intelligent. Now, we're not allowed to report in person. We're not allowed down there. And then it goes on. He goes on and does a lot of more platitudes. But after this press conference, I found out a federal official said that from this point forward, only local media, only media from Hawaii will be allowed in the hot zone. Any outside media entity must go through a cultural sensitivity training course.
Are you serious?
That's
cultural sensitivity?
Yeah.
And what do they teach you? About the philosophy of aloha?
Yeah, so that's it, here's the thing.
Oh, my God, this is...
They're so fixated now on controlling the media and putting us in our place. And the police chief here, John Pelletier, former captain, Las Vegas Metro PD, he is really hell-bent on putting us in our place and telling us where we belong in this whole entire scheme of things. And yesterday, I mean, again, right back at lecturing us on how to do our jobs and what he thinks is news and not news. That's the thing that always fascinates me about these people.
Well, it seems they're desperate to cover up a lot of bad news. They're hiding a lot of bad stories right now. To want to send you to a cultural sensitivity training session. I mean, that's Soviet Union stuff.
Well, and the interesting thing is, so, you know, Bart Avery has been my handler on the ground here because he's got 40 years experience navigating this island. And he was allowed to go with me into the hot zone the other day because he was carrying equipment and he was also helping to photograph and sort of memorialize the visit for us visually. And he did. And I can't wait. I'm going to post a few photos today showing just how I'm traipsing all over the bones and ash of the dead, you know, as I was accused of doing by the governor. And it'll give you exactly the perspective you need to see on how we do our job in a zone like that. And it's just mind-boggling that he really thinks he can get by with all. I mean, right now, he is the guy in control. I mean, he's the guy in charge. But I suspect
all right, well, how long does this go on before the national news media starts to...
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. So that was CBS that got smacked down yesterday. I don't know how much of a deal they're going to make about it, but I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
This is it's an extremely serious tragedy.
It is.
This is a lot of dead people, and they've got... They're acting so squirrely that this really requires a in-depth media, intense investigation.
Well, I thought what I would offer him is I'll go through the Hawaiian cultural sensitivity training if he goes through media relations training.
There's a deal.
Yeah,
you teach
willing
that.
To do
yeah.
that. I'm willing to do that. If he's willing to go through media relations training, I'll go through sensitivity training.
They're not going to get better coverage by acting this way.
No. And I think kind of the sort of hypocrisy about this is how he's turning us mainlanders away, but they want the mainlanders' support. And how is he going to – his local people are not going to be able to communicate because you don't get the Hawaii newspaper out there.
And the psychological manipulation of cultural sensitivity – respecting our aloha philosophy. I mean, that is really passive-aggressive manipulation.
So I talked to two urban search and rescue people yesterday, and I asked them, I said, hey, I just got an interesting question for you. They're like, what? Did either of you have to go through any sensitivity training in order to approach these homes and these properties? And I was asking it as a legitimate question because I did not know that perhaps, because I do remember some sensitivities when I used to work in Arizona about going on to Indian reservation land and having to cover things there. I was actually put through like a real quick primer on what not to do on Indian land. And I understand that, and I was respectful of it. So I wanted to know if any of these people from all over the country have gone through some sort of sensitivity training. I'm like, no, what are you talking about? I'm thinking, you know, people, there are dozens and dozens of rescue folks down there now that are going, walking over people's property and on private property and through rubble and through businesses. And none of them has gone through any kind of sensitivity training. So to suggest that reporters should have to do the same thing when they're being relegated to walking down the middle of a paved street and not allowed into the areas that the rescuers are is a bit of a stretch.
Well, they're covering up as best they can here because I think there's a lot of bad stories
yep.
that they don't want known. Steve, thanks very much.
Take care,
good
John.
Stuff. All right.
Thank you.
A little more on this coming up. We're going to give you a rundown of the stories that they want to cover up because CNN, Wall Street Journal, has been doing some digging. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's indefensible, inexplicable. John and Ken show, and I wonder, is this the new latest woke wave that you won't be able to cover news unless you're culturally sensitive to the town or the neighborhood? So if there's a crime spree in a certain part of town, you can't get in there until you become certified in the proper cultural sensitivity to the beliefs and customs of the neighborhood. I mean, this could shut down all news, where you could be charged now with just through your news coverage of being insensitive, and you don't get certified. And so you can't do your job. Well, this woke stuff that the journalists have embraced, it's now coming back to bite them. John and Ken.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, it's the iHeart app for the John and Ken on demand podcast to listen to what you missed. We just had Steve Gregory on about the Maui wildfires and the town of Lahaina being destroyed, 111 dead, 1,000 missing, and the difficulty that the reporters there are having getting straight information out of the various officials. They're very defensive and argumentative, and they want to make reporters go through sensitivity training if they're from outside the island. And they have this woman who conducts the press conference by preaching about the aloha mentality, the culture of Hawaii, which apparently is supposed to foreclose any pointed aggressive questions. Never seen anything like this, but it's an extension of wokeness is what it is. You now have to take a course in Hawaiian cultural sensitivity, or you cannot cover, you're not allowed in certain areas of the island that have been affected by the fires, which I've never heard before. Cultural sensitivity for the reporters before they get to cover the fire. But this is where wokeness keeps going. It is now eating up the journalists who've helped promote this nonsense. But the people in Hawaii, especially the survivors, the ones who have family and friends who are now ashes, literally they're ashes, they're being blocked from getting the proper information to see whose fault is this for it being this bad. And people hate, this is also really part of the sensitivity woke movement, you're not supposed to blame anybody anymore. Oh, you're just finger pointing. You're playing the blame game. Yes, we are. Finger pointing. My finger's pointed at you, and I am blaming you if you either did your job badly or you neglected your job entirely, and your actions cost all these lives and all this property. Because when you work for the people, you have to do the right thing. You have a higher standard than some schlub in a cubicle in some godforsaken office. No, if you're in, if you're involved in safety, emergency safety for a city, and the public's paying you, and they're depending on you to get the information correct and get the response correct, then people should be chasing you down. They should start getting acting aggressively if you're not willingly giving up the information. Who the hell do you think you are? You work for the people. The people don't work for you. You work for the public. And now we have a lot of dead members of the public and a lot of destruction and a lot of missing people. So you didn't turn on the siren? Yeah, you're going to hear about it. Of course you are. If your job is to turn on the siren and you didn't because you had some convoluted thinking, or you were lazy or stupid, or you just habitually make bad decisions, then yeah, you should get smacked around. I don't understand this. You're just government workers. Like, get over yourselves. You know, and we're gonna follow that path, by the way, for our own local issue after 2 o'clock. Blake Trulli is coming on because Karen Bass and other police officials has announced a task force to investigate all these smash and grab robberies. But, you know, drop near the bottom of the article and leave it to the El Segundo Times. This should be the headline. The county sheriff, Robert Luna, says his department is aware of 170 recent organized retail thefts. 170! And now they're triggering a task force, huh? And out of that 170, how many of them are the same guys over and over again who have been picked up on other crimes and George Gascon hasn't prosecuted them? That's the question. A lot of this is going to lead back to Gascon, except Gascon employs the same kind of tactics that these clods in Hawaii are imposing. When reporters tried to corner him on Monday, he got all angry and defensive, started waving their hands at him, at the reporters. So, you know, this is endemic now, this kind of behavior from guilty public servants who are on our payroll. When they get caught with bad policy or just shirking their responsibilities, that's the thing, not to get too far sidetracked, but Gascon in that press conference wasn't blaming the thieves so much as those people who buy the merchandise that the thieves sell in the neighborhoods or online. You follow that? It's the thieves' customers who are to blame. That's who he focused on. And then he jumped on the reporters for not reading and parroting his midterm report on crime. He wouldn't answer anybody's question, clearly. So that's what they're doing, this same version of this in Hawaii. Although it's many, many times more tragic because these are 111 people. And there's a lot of children involved. And we start here with the electric company. Hawaiian Electric said publicly in 2019 it would conduct drone surveys to identify areas vulnerable to wildfires and determine how to keep residents and infrastructure safe. So that's 4 years ago. In truth, though, according to the Wall Street Journal, between 2019 and 2022, Hawaiian Electric invested less than $245,000. And that's according to regulatory filings that the Wall Street Journal inspected. So publicly, they got a cheap headline. Yeah, yeah, we're going to get a drone and we're going to map and monitor, you know, to see who's at risk in a wildfire. They did no such thing. Okay. $245,000 doesn't even cover lunch for those 4 years. And Hawaiian Electric is under a lot of criticism for not shutting down power lines when the high winds created dangerous fire conditions. And if you heard the woman who was speaking for Hawaiian Electric, well, that's not something that we do here. That's something that's in California, but it's controversial. Whether it's controversial or not is not the point. This is not up for everybody to vote on. This is a policy that if you shut down the power, then the power lines can't start fires. You see, that's how it works. And by the way, I also read that there were studies that said they should have buried the power lines years ago and, just like California, Nobody did. This whole Maui situation is very reminiscent to the Paradise fires a few years back. Just, you know, incompetence on the part of the electric company, incompetence on the part of government officials in responding to it. Just like in Lahaina, there were only a couple of exit routes out of Paradise. And in general, nobody in government that we pay billions of dollars to was prepared, was ready, that made the right decisions. They have the money. They voluntarily took the job. They agreed to be hired. Now, here's what comes with us. With it, you get a lot of money. They do get paid well. And you get pensions and benefits. And in return, oh, gee, if there's a fire, flip the switch. And if you don't want people moving in one direction because of the way they're attuned to that siren, well, then come up with another plan. And you should have had the other plan years ago. No excuse for this. John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Blake Trolley is going to come on after two because he went to a Karen Bass press conference announcing a task force to fight the smash and grab robberies. That's right. When people show up at a Nordstrom's now, right? When the robbers pile out of their Mercedes, you know, 30, 50 of them, they're going to run right into that task force guarding the front doors. Yikes. All right. Here's another idiot politician. And I like this guy for about 5 minutes, but he's turned out to be a nut. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, he is angry that nearly all of the illegal aliens that made it to the state of New York are in New York City. And he even went through the math. Listen to this clip.
This is a national, a statewide issue that has been unjustly dropped into the lap of New York City residents. We only make up 0.05 of the land mass in New York State. 0.05. That's what we make up. Yet we are housing over 99% of the migrants.
Wow. No, Mr. Mayor, the rest of the state, the most of the other 99.95% of the landmass did not declare their cities a sanctuary for illegal aliens. You got this crowd because you declared it a sanctuary, so the illegal aliens thought, oh, this is a good place to go. And you also had some illegal aliens sent there by other mayors and governors who didn't want their cities and states to be a sanctuary because they don't have the money or the personnel or the living space. So it's like, hey, New York says it's a sanctuary. They've got the time and energy for this. Here you go. They're on their way. Most of these illegal aliens are finding New York on their own, by the way. I know the Abbott and DeSantis bus and plane rides are getting a lot of attention, but most of these people are migrating to New York on their own. And Adams had made it clear at the beginning that they were going to take care of all these people. But now he's got hundreds of migrants sleeping on the sidewalks. And he's saying there was never a desire to have anyone sleep outside. The dam burst. I don't know how to get it clear. For a year and 8 months, no one was sleeping on our streets. And he said the dam burst because everybody in your party has supported Biden's open borders plan. When you have open borders, this is what happens. You didn't squawk about it before they arrived in New York. You didn't make a complaint as long as the migrants were confined to El Paso or Brownsville, Texas. And then you said it was cruel when those officials sent the migrants out. Well, now they're with you. Are they all insane? Is everybody out of their minds? What do you think sanctuary means? You didn't say we have sanctuary for the first 1,000, right? You didn't set a limit on it. It's like, you know, we'll take the first 1,000 migrants. But after that, no more sanctuary. I don't understand. And they do this with a straight face. I have no idea if they believe what they're saying. Do they forget what they said, you know, a month ago? Do they realize what they're promoting is unworkable? This is another one of those things. That's simply, it doesn't work. I don't care what your political belief system is. This doesn't work. open borders, sanctuary cities. What do you think's going to happen? Aye, aye, aye. All right, coming up. Another thing that never works. Task forces. But we got another one. Karen Bass announced one today. Lake Trolley will tell us about this. This is in response to all the smash and grab robberies. John and Ken Show, Ken's Way. Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.